Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the What? American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 9th, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name. Your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You know, I just had a thought. Last week I got a letter in the mail from somebody that wanted me to pray for his son. I took the letter with me to the Wichita Mission Church, and after Sabbath service, I took it before a couple of the brothers and my wife and had them read the letter. So after we all read the letter, then we laid the letter down on the table. I anointed it with oil, and we laid hands on the letter and prayed on it. And so my thought is to you folks is, you know, this is a good way also. If you mail us a letter, and you can find our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, send us a letter with your prayer request, or if you send me an email with your prayer request, you know, I'll print it out and I'll take it to the church and do so. Now, remember, you can always find updates to breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at that blog, which is prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, so pray about supporting airtime. Our program archives can also be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Both are smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app that you can get to download to your phone. But, of course, you don't need to download those apps. You can just go to either one of those sites, click on download or click on play, and you will get the radio program. Excuse me. Anyway, now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And I pray that you give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest has been on with us recently more than once. His name is Benjamin Baruch. Benjamin is a chartered financial analyst and a certified public accountant. Benjamin was manning institutional investment portfolios in the 1990s when he began praying and asking the Lord to show him the end of the matter regarding the stock market. After a year of prayer, the Lord answered him, but rather than revealing the future of the stock market, the Lord showed him literally judgment which is coming upon America. In fact, he showed him in a dream he had the trade towers being hit. Anyway, Benjamin released his first book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand, in 1998, which reveals the plans of the enemy that is about to come upon America. The Day of the Lord has now been published in a seventh edition for 2015. The Day of the Lord 7th edition contains a megaton of truth about what is coming upon America, including details regarding the Star of Bethlehem, which is now returned to the heavens. That in itself is enough to get the book for the research. In 2015, Benjamin published his second book, Search the Scriptures, Volume 1, Out of the Darkness, which is a powerful word designed to bring victory to the lives of the people of Yahweh. Today's believer doesn't need more information on what's coming as much as they need insight on how to become an overcomer in this hour. Tonight, he is back with on with us to talk about Search the Scriptures, Volume 3, The Remnant Shall Return. This is now available from the way I understand it. Folks, I truly believe Benjamin has written the books for such a time as this. They are powerful. I strongly suggest you get copies and share all of them with your family and friends, as these books will help prepare them for what is coming, as well as you. So let's now welcome Benjamin Baruch. Are you there with me, Benjamin?
Hey, Pastor, I'm here. How you doing?
Pretty good, really. After a little bit of tribulation that I went through for a few weeks, I'm doing real good.
Well, praise God. Good to be back. Thank you for inviting me back. And yeah, praise God. Volume 3 of Search the Scriptures just came out today. And so I'm excited to see that book finally published. My editor, I've got a guy who's helped do some editing, and so he's read each of the books, and he wrote me an email and said, "Brother, Volume 3 is by far the most powerful of all of these books." And, you know, again, I have to wonder if the Lord isn't saving the best for last, and the books are just becoming more and more profound. And so, you know, I thank God Volume 4 will be out probably later in the summer. I don't know anything about it other than the title. Because that's all the Lord's revealed at this point. But the title of Volume 4 is I Am the Door. So, yeah, it's like a treatise that God's doing. You know, the first volume is called Out of the Darkness. And once we come out of the darkness, Volume 2 is You Shall Know the Truth. We come out of the lies and into the knowledge of the truth. And then Volume 3 is The Remnant Shall Return. Once we know the truth, we know we need to return to the Lord, brother. And how do we do that? I am the door, says Yeshua. We go through the door, which is Jesus. And so praise God. The Lord has got some wonderful things planned for his people in this day, which is his day.
Well, before we get into that book, let me make a couple of comments. You know, each one of these books, you know, you read one and I went, wow, that's just really deep. And, you know, that's where we need to be at. And then the next one comes out, you know, You Shall Know the Truth. And I'm going, wow, that got a lot deeper, you know, it cut to the bone. I know there's lots of things in it that, you know, the spirit of correction and things. And now you say this one's even deeper. Well, that's pretty amazing. So there is a progressive work here.
Absolutely. I mean, the Lord is actually doing this work. My name might be on it, you know, but I've got about as much credit, if you will, in these books as Baruch the scribe of Jeremiah had in the book of Jeremiah. I mean, I'm the guy with the pen and the paper, and I got the bottle of ink out, and I wrote down the words. But brother, when I read Volume 3 the first time, after it had finally been set up, and actually sat down and read the book straight through as an edit review, I thought to myself, I did not write this book. I don't remember even these words going in these pages. It was the first time I read the book, and then I read it a second time, and I thought, wow, it was more powerful than the first. And Dan, the third time, I read it three times for edit review. On the third time, I was weeping reading this book.
Wow.
And
well, I can't wait to read it.
It is about the remnant, and it's the history of the remnant of Israel, and it's the story of God's people. It's the story from the past, the true story. What happened from the dark ages? What happened to the people of God, to Israel, and to the Jews who remain God's covenant people? albeit they were cut off, there's always been a remnant of Israel that's been saved by the Lord. And the Gentiles, too, have been called to gather in and join the commonwealth of Israel. But, you know, the story of what happened to the Jews, beginning in the Dark Ages, and then forward through the Renaissance, this Age of Enlightenment, when the world changed, and a new religion was born, and it's called nationalism, or patriotism. And for the first time, a corporate state rose in power, and ultimately challenged the rule of the king or the church. And then what happened to the Jews from the 1600s? And then the formation of the world Zionist movements and all the events that led up to the political move to the recreation of the state of Israel. And then, of course, the Holocaust and the Shoah, the Nazi persecution of the Jews in Europe during the war. And then the story of the survivors, Dan. People that survived, and the remnant, surviving remnant, Sharit Haplata, the surviving remnant that came out of the camps, and how it was they made their way back to the land. Brother, it is so powerful, and it's real. This isn't fictional. This is the true history. And I even quote the writings of the early rabbis that were calling the people back to the Lord, and you've got to read some of these. The books that were written, I quote from the very best of a number of books written by Jewish rabbis, and you read these words and tell me these guys were not being touched by the Holy Spirit. They're powerful words of calling the people to true repentance and a return to the Lord. Before they ever return to the land, we must first return to the Lord. And it's powerful. And, you know, the Gentile church has been told many things. You know, the last days are a time of great deception. Jesus himself, Yeshua, warned us, take heed, no man deceive you. And the deceptions are so profound that they're within the paradigms through which we see the world. And they've affected virtually all of us. And one of the deceptions is in the very way in which we think about the world. Because the modern world has been dominated by a philosophy of thought known as Hellenism. And this philosophy or this worldview of Hellenism really has hell in it. Because it's the world's view of the world that is going to hell. It's the mindset of the goyim who do not know the Lord. It's the way the pagan people look at the world. And you know what it exalts, Dan? Knowledge. The knowledge of good and evil is the great God in the Hellenistic world. And so the Christian church has been raised in a Hellenist worldview. And what is it that we lift up? Knowledge. And what do we fight about? Our knowledge of the Bible. And everybody argues about their personal interpretation of either, you know, what is the new covenant and what do these prophecies mean? And, you know, in this hour before the many are about to become offended and betray one another. And Jesus warned us of this time. We're at that hour where the persecution is ready to come. And then many shall be offended and betray one another. You know what's amazing, Dan?
What?
On the night of the Passover, before Jesus was arrested and beaten and crucified, he took off his robes and he put on the garments of a slave, of a servant. And he knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet. And then he stood up and he said, one of you is going to betray me. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. And one of you will betray me. And the disciples began to argue, you know, not me, Lord, surely not I. And began to argue amongst each other, you know, who could it be? And then one of them said, well, it can't be me. I'm the greatest. And another disciple said, well, you're not the greatest, I'm the greatest. And the conversation quickly turned into an argument over who would be the greatest. And they forgot the Lord who had just washed their feet. They forgot that Jesus was the one getting betrayed. And instead they focused on themselves. And in this hour the Lord has warned us, it won't be one this time who betrays the Lord, but many shall be offended and betray the true believers. And what you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto the Lord. So it's not one Judas this time, Dan. It's many. And what is the church doing? What are the majority of the people doing in the light of this time of the great offense and the great betrayal of the many. We're arguing about who's the greatest.
Yeah,
whose volumes of books are smarter than the rest, and who's got Bible prophecy figured out. And if you don't believe in the rapture the way I do, I can't even fellowship with you, brother. What, are we crazy?
Yeah,
we learn
absolutely
nothing from these things that went on before us.
Let me jump in here a second. I have a couple of questions, but well, I guess the first and foremost is so, you know, it says the remnant will return. You know, I think these other books teach us, take us to a place to where we can start to be that remnant. But I would like for you to tell the people, in your opinion, give us a, per se, I'll call it a snapshot. What does the remnant look like if you're looking from the outside and looking at them? What are they? What do they do? Do they have miracles? What are they, Ben? Who are they?
Well, praise God, brother. That is the question. You know, who are the remnant? You know, and what do we know about them? Well, one of the things that we know about the remnant is they've found the truth. They have found the truth and they know the truth, and the truth sets them free. Okay, well, what is the truth? You know, what truth did they find that other people are sort of stumbling around with? You know, what is the truth? And the truth is Jesus. You know, Jesus is the truth. And how do you find Jesus? You know, well, the scriptures are where we start, but the Pharisees searched the scriptures their whole lives, and they never found the truth. They were ever learning, but never coming into a knowledge of the truth. And so, you know, who are the remnant? Well, the scripture tells us they are the outcasts of Israel. They're the afflicted ones. They're the broken ones.
There you go.
They're the ones that nobody was willing to even have fellowship with them at times. The church was not worthy of them. They're the ones that nobody wanted. And they're the people that God brought to the end of themselves. And the Lord confronted them in the wilderness. And it was either find the truth or die. You know, the game of hiding our sin did not work for the remnant anymore. You know, they had to find the truth or it was the end of themselves. And so the remnant are the ones who've already been through the fire. They're the ones who've been poured out, and now they're clean. They're the ones who tremble at the word of God. And these are people whose sins have been forgiven. They've turned from their wicked ways. And now they're found in Messiah. They abide in Jesus. Now the Hellenists, when they read the Bible, you know, the Gentiles read their English Bible, and Jesus said, unless you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you'll become a fruitless branch. If you remain fruitless, eventually you'll be broken off, and they will come and they will gather them together in bundles, and you're going to be burned in the fire. Well, the branches that were fruitless, they're not the remnant. The branches that are now going to be gathered, they're going to be concentrated. They're going on a train ride. They're going to go to a concentration facility. They're going to be purified in a fire.
Amen.
And people don't like hearing the truth. This is a generation when men will no longer endure sound doctrine. They'd rather all just disappear. You know, can't we just get out of here? But the truth is, the only way out of here is through the cross. The remnant are those that are found worthy. Jesus said, pray without ceasing that you be counted worthy to escape these things and be found standing in the presence of the Son of Man, that you might be counted among those he calls his remnant. The surviving remnant, Dan, are the ones who survive and endure the fire that's coming. And that the book is the question you just asked. I wrote an entire book to answer.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. You hit a nail on the head when you said that they were the broken ones. You know, that's just it. People don't realize that, you know, in order to be, for him to make us in the way that he wants to, we have to be broken. We have to be humble. We have to give up the love of this world into the want of just being with him. With total focus on him, putting total focus on Yeshua will bring us to that point. He'll add everything else that we need as long as we keep our eyes on him. And a lot of folks would say, Benjamin, they'd say, well, I can't suffer in a concentration camp, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. You can do all things through Yeshua, but you got to put your eyes on him, and you have to truthfully surrender and allow him to become Lord of their lives. But so many people, what do you think, Ben? I see so many people that say, well, yeah, Jesus is the Lord of my life, but if he's the Lord of their lives, they sure are, who, you know, they sure are leading awful funny lives. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know, again, it's the error of the Hellenist view versus the Hebraic view. And I'm not talking about going back and getting under the law or anything like that. You know, the Hebraic roots movement is very much a Hellenist born identity. It's very much based on knowledge of doctrine. You know, when Jesus said, unless you abide in me, he meant relationship. We've got to actually walk with the Lord. We can't just walk with the knowledge of the Bible in our head. We've got to walk with the Spirit of God in our lives.
Yeah,
in order
amen.
To walk with the Lord, we've got to walk in a level of righteousness that does not offend the Lord. Because if we're
yeah.
still choosing sin, and if that sin offends the Lord, then we will grieve the Holy Spirit, and the Lord will leave. And then he'll give us the fruit of our ways, and we're going to reap the seeds. We'll reap the harvest of the seeds we sow. And then God will put us in a furnace of affliction, and we're finally ready to obey the Lord and walk with him in the way that he desires. Then the Lord will restore our relationship with him. And again, we'll be found abiding with the Lord. The Gentile church abides in the outer court of compromise. And they walk in the knowledge of good and evil through the kind of man. And many of them don't actually walk with the Lord. There are large numbers of them that don't even know what it means to walk with the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
Well,
we got about a minute before break, but you know, we'll address it when we come back. But Ben, where can they find all this stuff at? I know, but you tell them what's over there at your website. And I really, by the way, I like the upgrade that you did with all the books on it. Tell them where it's at.
Well, it's BenjaminBaruch.net or BenjaminBaruch.com. It's BARUCH, Benjamin, BENJAMIN. Benjamin Baruch, and somebody once said that my name means Benjamin with Jesus, and we need to be on the page of the Lord. That's who the remnant are. They're the people that are found following the Lamb, not following the inventions of the minds of men.
Benjamin with Jesus. Okay, I guess I'll believe that. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more with Benjamin with Jesus.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Bless the people that the Father sends us to get help. So many people come in looking for miracle prayers. They need help. They need Bibles. They need food. They need clothing, so on and so forth. They need the gospel. They come to us. Why do they come to us? Because we are set apart and different. They can tell that we're different. We give them relationships. We don't give them, act like an agency to them. We give them relationships. So pray about it, supporting it. That's why the agencies tell the people about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when their rules and guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We spend, by faith, we spend down to the last dollar in our pocket. We believe that the Father will replace it, and He has never let me down in the 15 years that we've been going, that if I just extend and I take care of the people, then He'll provide what I gave, you know. And so we've been doing that. That's faith. Faith is an action word. Faith is something that you believe. The Father tells you something, you believe, and you get up off the couch and you go do it. You don't sit and wait for money to come to you to go do the work that the Father tells you to do. You just get up and go do it, and He will give you the way. That's faith, brothers and sisters. The book of James says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. The Wichita Mission Church is a natural work of faith, and it comes naturally. The works of faith come naturally. It's not something that you're forced to do, and it's something that you do out of enjoyment. Just like the reason that, you know, I'm Messianic, the reason that I love him and I keep his commandments and I keep his Torah isn't in a legalistic sense of the word, but it's twofold. Most of the Hebrew Roots movement, I agree with Ben, misses it because they want to get into all scripture and doctrine because they miss the other part of it. In Revelation 14:12, we hear, "This is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua." It's twofold. You have to have both. So many Messianic, not Messianic churches, but Hebrew Roots churches, you know, they are fighting over doctrines, and they're fighting over what day is holier than another, or, you know, which day of the year is starts on, or so on and so forth. But there's a simpler way, you know, and it's by keeping the spirit in it, you know, and trusting the dates and the things that have already been set before us. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And we can't discount the word because, you know, it says, the word says, in fact, in Hebrews it says, how shall we know what sin is? We know what sin is by looking at the law or looking at the Torah. So, but the law has no effect on me because I'm not under that law, because being under the law is somebody that is a sinner. If I'm a liar, then I'm under the law of being a liar. But I'm not a liar, and I don't commit adultery. I don't break the commandments. So those laws have no effect on me. And so, brothers and sisters, you please, tonight, pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And, folks, we are responsible to care one for another. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And now we're back with Benjamin Baruch telling us about these wonderful books that you need to get. Are you there with me, Ben?
Well, I am, yeah. Thank you.
Well, I'm blessed to have you on. Thank you.
Well, you know, that whole issue of, you know, how do we return? The remnant will return to the truth. And, you know, what is the truth?
Yeah, amen.
That topic is really addressed in great detail in both Out of the Darkness, Volume 1, and You Shall Know the Truth, Volume 2. And, you know, this whole question of, you know, how do we obey God? You know, do we go back and try to fill in all of these commandments under the original covenant? You know, or, you know, what exactly are we required to do? That's a pretty controversial subject. But the Lord really brought forth some amazing insight into this question, which is a very important question. And, you know, I'll just briefly summarize what the Lord brought forth.
Let me jump in here and say something. You know, so far I've read two of the books, and I read your other book. And let me address the people, and here's why I think these are important. Now, you know, like I stated, I'm Messianic. I keep Torah. Torah is the instructions. That's hitting the mark. Sin is missing the mark. But we keep it in a spiritual sense. There's spirituality. These books that I read that you sent me are Torah. These are all based on Torah. Just like Paul said, we must become circumcised first in our heart before there's any outward showing of an expression or circumcision. That's Torah. He didn't make that up. That came from the first five books of the Bible. You know, but people miss that because they don't understand. But these books, you know, these are so spiritual, but they are Torah. They have the contents of what Torah is. I don't know whether you realize that or know that, but I know that from my heart because I do know Torah. And we apply it spiritually, and we are free, and we're not legalistic. But these books express the Torah of Yahweh in such a mannerism that builds us spiritually. And, you know, my prayer, Ben, if I had the money, I would send these books to every Hebrew Roots. I would send them to everybody, but I would send them to every Hebrew Roots congregation there is, because this is what they need. Just like I read that a minute ago. It's the commandments and the faith of Yeshua. This is the faith of Yeshua. This is the spirit of Yahweh that are in these that interprets Torah and allows it. And if we don't become like what these books say, if we don't allow our hearts to be melted, if we don't break and become that one new man, then I'm sorry, we're not going to make it. And no, you're absolutely right. You can't just go back and try and read the law and follow the law. That's not what it's all about. It's the spirituality and being taught by the Holy Spirit. These books do that. And that's why I brought you back on. And that's why I believe so strongly in them. And I can't wait for you to send me the next one. Because like I say, I read the first two and I can't wait for the next one. Sorry to take your time. Well, back to you.
Oh, no, it's your program. You know, Dan, the discussion of the Old Covenant and Torah, which is the Word of God, and the New Covenant, which is the revelation of Yeshua, which is the fulfillment of the will of the Father, that issue has been a source of confusion, and you know, and people want to get this right because this is important.
Right.
And a lot of people struggle with understanding how the scripture speaks to the absolute truth of the commandment of God in the context of the new covenant, which is the covenant by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Dan, I have never seen or read anywhere the explanation that the Lord put in these books on this issue. And it was never, I've never even understood it as clearly as it's explained in Search the Scriptures, Out of the Darkness, and You Shall Know the Truth. And the third volume, The Remnant Shall Return, is all about how we become one in Yeshua, the true Israel of God. You know, as far as the Hebrew roots, I am a Hebrew. I've got the root in me. And I'm born again by the power of the name of Jesus in the name of Yeshua, and I have the Ruach HaKodesh, the very Rhema word of God in my mouth. I'm as Hebrew as the Hebrews come. Brother, I love the history of our people. And the Gentiles that are grafted in, they're one with us. And we all become changed. And who do you think we change into? We all become like Jesus, like Yeshua. Every one of us is going to be Hebrew. And in the New Kingdom, the New Jerusalem, we'll speak Hebrew as well. So praise the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem. The Lord is, this is His day. And these books are really His books if you can receive it.
I do believe it. You know,
it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
It's really obvious. It's really obvious. And, you know, I know it by because, I know the word. I know all of the word. You know, I read it over and over and over again, and it comes together. You know, it's just like people don't understand that so much of the words that they say, well, all of that was done away with. Well, with all of that was done away with, well, Paul wouldn't be saying you need to be circumcised in your heart because he's quoting out of the Torah. Yeshua would have told the devil, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh. That's in the Torah. You know, all of these things are in the Torah, but there's a spiritual sense that they take away. These people, now let me finish this statement. I got to say it and then I'll listen to you. But so many of these people, because they think they're missing something and they go back to the Hebrew roots without a proper teacher and without the Holy Spirit guiding them, they become dry as a dried up prune or fruit, and they have no spirit and love left in them because every one of them think they're right when they know nothing, because they didn't allow the Holy Spirit to lead them. These books seep, it's like they're seeping the spirit out of the books, and they are Torah. I'm telling you folks, a lot of you folks out there are Hebrew roots or Messianic. You know, you need to read these books. You need to get this in your life. You need the Spirit.
And
it isn't just good enough to follow Torah. You have to have the Spirit of the Ruach HaKodesh. You have to have this in you. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Brother, that is so true, because, you know, the whole thing, in the Old Covenant, the people attempted to follow the Torah through the strength of their flesh and
right.
through the knowledge of good and evil, which is
right.
what they had in their head.
Right.
And nobody entered in because everyone failed. They failed in following the will of the Father because we can't do it in our flesh.
No.
The Messiah did not change the Torah. He said, I didn't come to change the Torah. You want the truth, Dan? He raised the bar. The Torah
yeah,
says, thou absolutely. Shalt not murder. Messiah says, you will also not hate. Torah says, you shall not commit adultery. Messiah says, you will not have lust in your heart.
Amen.
Yeshua raised the bar. We couldn't
Amen.
Do the Torah correctly without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We
Absolutely.
Cannot possibly do the New Covenant correctly without the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. That's why
yeah,
we must
absolutely.
Be born again. We must abide in Yeshua. We must walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we must also have the knowledge of the Holy One. We must know the truth in order for the truth to set us free. And there's a lot of liars out there. Jesus
Amen.
Said, you'll know the truth. And in the Proverbs we read, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Brother, wait till you read volume 3. It is simply amazing. Well, the first chapter, let me just tell you what's in this book.
Yeah,
it's simply, I mean, I'm jumping up and down, you know, and people, I'm sure they hear me and they're thinking, oh, that Benjamin guy just wants to, like, sell us his books. Well, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. I'm trying to share a word that's going to bring life and deliverance to the people of God. Chapter 1, the Lord shall comfort Zion, brother. It's so beautiful.
Amen.
Chapter 2, the return to Zion, the long road home. Chapter 3, how do we become part of the remnant? Who are the remnant? And what do we need to do to be counted among the remnant? And then chapter 4, which I think may be my favorite, is the search of the fathers. The Lord told me to go and search out the fathers of the prophets of Israel. Who were these men who taught their sons and daughters the word of Yahweh? Who were these men? And what did they do? What did they teach their sons who grew up to be the prophets of God? What is the father of Jeremiah and the father of Isaiah and the father of Ezekiel? Who were these men and what did they know that we don't know? We need to search out the knowledge and the wisdom of the fathers of Israel. Because we're of a generation that we know nothing. And I don't have time to go through. We really need to read the whole book because the message is just profound. But, brother, the Lord gave me a dream. And in the dream, I saw basically a message of the fathers of the prophets of Israel. And I knew I was supposed to go search out the fathers of the prophets. And so I prayed about it, and I asked the Lord to speak on this subject through Holy Scripture. And I opened my Bible, and I looked down, and I read Job chapter 8, verse 8. And the Scripture reads, inquire, go search, I pray thee, the former age, and prepare yourself for the search of the fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and we know nothing. Because our days on this earth are but a shadow. Shall not the fathers teach you and tell you and utter words out of their heart? And the Hebrew view of the world is from the heart. It's based on relationship above knowledge. Our relationship with Yeshua is more critical to us than our knowledge of doctrine. You can get the Sabbath day wrong. But if your heart's pure before the Lord, He'll straighten you out. You can be ignorant of many things, but if you know the Lord, and if you're walking before Him in holiness and humility, the Lord will lead you into all things. But if you don't know the Lord, you're like a blind man who's going to end in the ditch. You know,
Amen.
I love Israel as much as anyone. I'm an Israeli already. It's my country. I come from the bloodline of the house of Israel. I'm actually from the tribe of Benjamin. And we all love the history of the faith. The history of the early years of the call of Abraham, the promise of the promised seed of Isaac, you know, ultimately the redemption of Jacob and then the birth of the 12 sons who became the 12 tribes and the mighty deliverance under the hand of Moshe coming out of Mitzrayim and then the trial and the testing of the wilderness of sin and the faithful witnesses who were ready to enter in and the multitude that did not believe and so they died in the wilderness of sin like a church that's trapped in the outer court, unable to enter in, and yet the promise that there must be some who are going to enter in and there must be some who will turn from their wicked ways and utterly repent and can be found in Messiah in this time. And absolutely, brother, I mean, I read the scriptures in Hebrew. I studied at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, Israel. I can read the Bible in Hebrew. And actually, much of my insight into Scripture comes from studying the Hebrew words themselves. So, yeah, the Hebrew roots are the essence of our faith, but it's not about us becoming rigid and dogmatic. I know people that are part of these Hebrew roots groups. Dan, they're mean people.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're mean. They have no love at all. Messiah gave us one new commandment.
I agree.
Love one another as I have loved you. Oh, only that much. That's it, right? We're supposed to love each other like Yeshua loved us. Oh, that's no small requirement. Go try and do that in the power of the flesh. Forget about it. You can't touch that without the Holy Spirit.
No, and you can't.
You know what? What exactly did the Lord require of us under the new covenant? What did he say? Love one another, go and make disciples of men, lay your hands on the sick and they'll recover. Try to do that through the knowledge of good and evil. Not going to happen. How about cast out devils? Can you do that with your doctrine? Hardly. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to do the true works of the kingdom. And you need the revelation of the Holy Spirit to walk in the truth of the Torah under the new covenant. And this Hellenistic mindset that we all need to argue about doctrine and prophecy came right out of hell. And the truth is, if our hearts are right, the Lord is our shepherd. He's going to lead us in the right way. And, you know, God will show us what he requires of us. And we don't need to lay our convictions on each other. You know, I was part of a Messianic congregation for years. I love the Messianic congregations because I love the Hebraic worship and I love the Hebraic roots of our faith.
Right. Right.
A good friend of mine that was there, one day he came up to me and he said, "Brother, I've just moved, and now I live only a few blocks from the congregation." I go, "Hey, that's great." He's like, "You don't understand. That means I can walk to Shabbat service." I go, "Great, that'll be convenient." He's like, "You don't understand. That means I don't have to sin. When I make a fire and start my car to drive to synagogue."
Oh,
I said,
gosh.
"Did you think you were sinning when you were driving to Shabbat service because you used your car?" He did.
Well, see, right somehow... there, that's a doctrine of man. That's not
the
problem.
I know it is.
The reason they said don't kindle, look, let's clear something up. Folks, it says don't kindle a fire on the Sabbath. The reason it says that is because look when they wrote it. You know how long it took them to cut wood and to kindle a fire? And that was servantile work and it took them all day and they had no time for Yahweh. So the point was, is to avoid servantile work so you would be rested and you could rest in the Lord. Not, you know, Ben, they have Sabbath elevators in Israel where you don't touch the button, they just stop at each floor so you don't break the Sabbath by pressing a button.
And you know what? It's so inconvenient. And pressing a button is not working on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And, you know, the teachings of men have always led to error.
Yes.
You know, teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. Yeshua rebuked the Pharisees for this. And we better be careful that we're not Pharisees in this last hour, or we're going to also receive a strong rebuke. But, you know, I just wanted to read just a couple excerpts out of the new book. This is part of the Return to Zion section, if I could, just a paragraph or two. This is part of the Zionist movement at the point where the new state was, the World Zionist Congress was coming into existence. And Theodore Herzl is the father of the modern state of Israel. He was the architect of the World Zionist Congress. And when he first wrote his book, Judenstaat, which is German for the Jewish state, in 1885, most people laughed at him. The religious mocked him. They persecuted him, claiming he was trying to bring in the era of Messiah. They called him a messianist. He was guilty of false messianism because our salvation would only come from the hills, from the Lord, they said. And Herzl wrote, in order to be proved right 30 years from now, you must be willing to be laughed at in the day of your vision. The Orthodox called him a heretic. The Reform rabbis were equally offended. He's challenging our patriotism. We are loyal Germans. Why would we ever want to leave Germany, they said. No, the Jews couldn't dream of leaving Germany any more than the Gentiles can dream of leaving the West. Yet at the first Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland, he stood on stage to open the Congress, but he could not speak. For the people stood and shouted, and they applauded, and they would not stop. Finally, after seemingly endless amount of time, these were his words. We have come home, as it were, for Zionism, at its very first, is our return to the Lord, even before we return to the land. And in the scriptures we read, by the rivers of Babylon we wept as we sang the songs of Zion. And by the rivers of Basel, Switzerland, we resolved to weep no more. We are bound to the sacred soil. We remember Zion in our hearts, for this is the land of our fathers, and it cries out for its people. Later he would write, the wind blows through the stubble. I must now my pace double. Then the wealthy Jews all turned him away. Only the poor would support the cause. But he was driven on by the conviction that the Jews had no time left. If they did not move soon, the very ground would begin to burn beneath their feet. He became the father of the modern state of Israel, and the Gentiles in the West, in the countries that will soon be dominated by the beast, are in precisely the same position. No one who is awake today can deny the gravity of our situation. Only the sleeping virgins are unable to see the apocalypse that is awaiting the church in America. And, you know, it's really counterproductive for us to fight and argue with each other. We need to come together in solemn assemblies.
Yeah,
we need to come together in prayer and fasting. We got to hear from the Lord on what to do. And these pointless arguments about the things that came out of the minds of the imaginations of men really have just been distractions from the enemy to keep us off of the task which has been set before us by the Lord, because we're the people that have got to enter in.
Yeah,
amen.
Well, we've run out of time. I'm sure we'll do it again. Hey, please send me that book. I want to read it. But tell them where they can find everything, where they can find you, and then I got to get you out of here.
Well, go to BenjaminBaruch.net or .com, or just go on YouTube, type in Benjamin Baruch. You'll find everything in audio format. And God bless you, Dan. And, yeah, thank you. Send me a link for the audio file, and
I'll get that.
A copy of The Remnant Shall Return as soon as I get one from the publisher.
Okay. You be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
Thank
Goodbye
you.
And shalom
Shalom
to you, brother. Okay, folks. I'm not saying that, you know, it's not, it's, the Torah is our instructions. It's just that you have to take it to the spirituality of it. You can't do it dry. You have to do it with the Holy Spirit's guidance. But so many, and I love my brothers that are Hebrew Roots Movement people, but so many of them, they're like he said, they are hateful. They argue with people, and the Spirit just doesn't seem to be there because they're arguing over doctrines that they believe is right. So I pray that they come together. And, you know, I call myself Messianic. That's, look up what Messianic is. It's different than Hebrew roots. But you must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.